The Gospel of John recounts Jesus saying to his followers, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall not thirst. I am the bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." In the other three Gospels, Christ shows us how we can eat his flesh and drink his blood, Matthew 26:26. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, 'Drink it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" The bread and wine at the consecration of the Mass become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is called transubstantiation, a change in substance, but not the form. So it's incorrect to say that it transforms into the body and blood of Christ. The form remains that of bread and wine. It looks like bread and wine, it tastes like bread and wine, and it acts like bread and wine. If we were to subject it to every scientific analysis known to man, or will ever be known to man, the results will always be bread and wine. So it takes faith. The early church fathers professed this belief that we now call transubstantiation. Saint Ignatius of Antioch said in 90 AD, "I have no taste for the food that perishes, nor the pleasures of this life. I want the bread of God, which is the flesh of Christ, who was the seed of David. And for drink I desire his blood, which is love that cannot be destroyed." Justin Martyr said in 165 AD, "For we do not receive these things as common bread or common drink, but as Jesus Christ our Savior, being incarnate by God's word, took flesh and blood for our salvation, so also we have been taught that the food consecrated by the word of prayer, which comes from him, from which our flesh and blood are nourished by transformation, is the flesh and blood of that incarnate Jesus." Still, this belief is difficult for some Christians. Even when Christ himself proclaimed to the multitude that we must eat his flesh and drink his blood, many walked away, John 6:60. Many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, "This is a hard saying, who can listen to it?" And verse 66 says, "After this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him." Through the centuries, many Christians have, for various reasons, denied the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. For instance, in the early church, Gnostic groups denied the real presence because they denied Christ came in the flesh. It is this group Ignatius of Antioch refers to when he says they abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they do not admit that the Eucharist is the flesh of our Savior Jesus Christ, the flesh which suffered for our sins and which the Father in his graciousness raised from the dead. And of course, many Protestant groups deny the real presence because Jesus said, "This do in memory of me," as if that somehow negates the fact that Christ said, "This is my body and this is my blood." But we can't be too hard on them. After all, their communion bread and grape juice does not become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Even those Protestants who profess some kind of belief in a real presence, it's just bread and grape juice. In order for transubstantiation to occur, it requires the apostolic succession of bishops and the priesthood that's only found in the Roman Catholic and various Orthodox churches. So if you want the bread of life, of which Christ said, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you," you must belong to one of those churches. Although a true schismatic will not be saved, so you're better off just being Catholic. But belief in the real presence of the Eucharist, that the bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, is difficult even among Catholics, even among priests and bishops. But God, in his mercy for his creatures, has seen fit to show us that the bread and wine do indeed become his flesh and blood by causing, on various occasions, the bread and wine to transform, not just transubstantiate, but transform physically, becoming his flesh and blood. Those miraculous hosts have been tested by independent scientists, oftentimes without knowing what they are testing. Here are a few examples. Of course, the most famous is Lenciano, Italy. In the 8th century, a priest in Lenciano, Italy was experiencing doubts about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. When he said the words of consecration, "This is my body and this is my blood," the bread and wine transformed into real human flesh and blood. The flesh is still preserved to this day. Professor of anatomy Eduardo Linoli conducted a scientific analysis of the flesh in 1971 and concluded that the flesh was cardiac tissue, the blood appeared to be fresh blood as opposed to blood that was 1,200 years old, and there was no trace of preservatives. Now, you might say to yourself, yeah, but that was 1,200 years ago. I know the tests were done with modern science, but something could have happened in that amount of time. Well, the rest of these miracles all occurred within the last 30 years. On August 15, 1996, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a local priest of the parish of Santa Maria found a discarded host on the ground in the church after Mass. Following standard procedures, he placed the recovered host in a bowl of water in the tabernacle to dissolve. A week later, when it was moved into a new tabernacle, a reddish substance was discovered. Permission was given in 1999 by Archbishop Bergoglio to Dr. Richard Castanin to have the flesh and blood analyzed. Dr. Castanin is a former atheist who converted to Catholicism because of prior encounters with miraculous phenomenon that he was called upon to analyze. Dr. Castanin found Dr. Frederick Zugabe of Columbia University in New York, an expert in forensic medicine of the heart, who received the sample without disclosure of the source. Professor Zugabe identified the presence of intact white blood cells, indicative of a living person. He confirmed that the sample was the AB blood type, like at Lanciano, was from the upper left ventricle of the myocardium. He also found markers indicative of trauma in the chest, and that the patient could not breathe for lack of oxygen. On December 8, 1991, a priest at the Shrine of Betania in Venezuela was celebrating Mass. After the consecration, he noticed that one of the hosts began to bleed from one side, so he then quickly preserved it. During the Mass, there were numerous pilgrims who immediately verified that the priest did not have wounds from which the blood present on the host could have flowed. Also, the analysis concluded that the priest's blood did not match that of the particle. The host was subjected to some special studies directed by Dr. Daisy Canizales, requested by the Bishop of Los Ticos. The results confirmed that the blood was human blood of type AB positive, which matches that of the Shroud of Turin and the host of the Eucharistic miracle of Lenciano. The host was later enshrined in a convent in Los Ticos and left exposed for pilgrims to see. Daniel Sanford from New Jersey went to the convent in 1998. Here's what he said happened. After the celebration ended, the priest opened the door of the tabernacle, which contained the host of the miracle. With great astonishment, I saw that the host was as if in flames, and there was a pulsating heart that was bleeding in its center. I saw this for about 30 seconds or so, then the host returned to normal. I was able to film a part of this miracle with my video camera. He filmed this host bleeding and pulsating like a heart. This is that footage. On October of 2006, in a church of the Diocese of Chilpancinga, Chalapa, Mexico, during Mass, as two parish priests and a religious sister were distributing Holy Communion, the sister showed one of the priests that a host in her ciborium had begun to emit a reddish substance. The priest informed the bishop, who formed a theological commission to investigate the phenomenon and to determine whether the host was supernatural or simply a hoax of some kind. Dr. Ricardo Castanon Gomez, who had also investigated the Buenos Aires miracle of 1996, led a team of scientists in a study of the host between 2009 and 2012. The study reported the following findings. The reddish substance corresponds to blood in which there are hemoglobin and DNA of human origin. The blood type was found to be AB, which corresponds to the miracles of Buenos Aires, Lanciano, as well as traces found on the Shroud of Turin. Forensics experts found that the substance originated from the interior of the host, which would seem to discount the theory that it was somehow planted from inside. Part of the blood was found to have been coagulated since 2006, but further examination shows the presence of fresh blood from 2010. The blood contains intact white blood cells, red blood cells, and active macrophages that engulf lipids, indicating an active metabolism. The tissue seems to correspond to the muscle of the heart, the myocardium, as found in other Eucharistic miracles. Further, this was found to be living cardiac muscle. Normally, after 48 hours, the tissue dies, but in this case, 3 months had passed before the results could actually be obtained. The study concluded that the event has no natural explanation. During Mass on Sunday, October 12, 2008, at St. Anthony's Church in Sokolka, Poland, a consecrated host fell from the hand of one of the priests during the distribution of communion next to the altar. The priest picked up the host and put it in a small container of water. A week later, the priest asked Sister Julia about the condition of the host. When she went to examine the host, she saw in the middle of the host, which was still largely intact, a curved bright red stain, like a blood stain, a living particle of a body. The water was untainted by the color. A piece of the altered host was taken and analyzed independently by two experts, Professor Maria Saboniak-Latowska, M.D., and Professor Stanislaw Sokolski, M.D., in order to ensure the credibility of the results. Both are histopathologists at the Medical University of Białystok. The studies were carried out at the university's Department of Pathomorphology. When the samples were taken for analysis, the undissolved part of the consecrated host had become embedded in the cloth. However, the red blood clot was still as clear as ever. The transformed part of the host was dry and fragile and woven with the rest of the fragment, which had kept the form of bread. The results of both independent studies were in perfect agreement. They concluded that the structure of the transformed fragment of the host is identical to the myocardial heart tissue of a living person who is nearing death. The structure of the heart muscle fiber is deeply intertwined with that of the bread in a way impossible to achieve with human means, according to the declaration of Professor Maria Latowska. On 25th December 2013, during the distribution of Holy Communion, a consecrated host fell on the floor and was picked up and placed in a water-filled container. Soon after, stains of red color appeared. The former bishop of Legnica, Stefan Sicci, set up a commission to observe the phenomenon. On February 2014, a tiny red fragment of the host was separated and put in a corporeal. The commission ordered to take samples in order to conduct a thorough test by the relevant research institutions. Two independent forensic medical departments from universities in Wrocław and Szczecin studied a sample of the host. After the investigation, the Department of Forensic Medicine stated, "In the histopathological image, the fragments of tissue have been found containing the fragmented parts of the cross-striated muscle. The whole is most similar to the heart muscle, with alterations that often appear during agony." The genetic researchers indicated the human origin of the tissue. So as you can see, transubstantiation, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, isn't just a theological opinion among other equally possible alternative opinions. It's not that this is what Catholics believe and other Christians believe differently, but who can say for sure all beliefs are equal? They're not. Transubstantiation is the truth, and the other theological positions are wrong. Some might say this is all a trick from the devil, in order to save their theological position, that the Eucharist is merely a symbol of the body and blood of Christ. But they give the devil too much credit. Satan and the other demons are angels. As such, they have preternatural powers only, which is far above what we can do. They are highly intelligent spirits who are not bound to physical limitations, but that's it. They don't have the power of creation. They can't turn ordinary bread into human flesh. Only God can do that. So I think twice before making that accusation. It's also worth noting that all these miracles, with the exception of Lenciano, Italy, happened in the Novus Ordo, proving that the Novus Ordo is valid when done properly. So on one hand, it vindicates the Novus Ordo against those who claim that it's not valid, but it also bears witness against the Novus Ordo. We have had more Eucharistic miracles in the last several decades than ever before. Why? Because belief in the real presence is at an all-time low. 70% of Catholics do not believe in the real presence, because the Novus Ordo does not foster a belief in the real presence, which is why so many people who are serious about the Catholic faith are choosing more reverent masses, such as the traditional Latin Mass and the Anglican Ordinariate. Another thing that sticks out to me and bears witness against the Novus Ordo is that in virtually all these cases, the host was either dropped on the floor or was found on the floor because of communion in the hand. That's a sacrilege. Which is more likely to happen in the Novus Ordo because of communion in the hand than it would in the traditional Latin Mass. And I know all of these cases sound like a broken record. Someone drops a host on the floor, they pick it up, put it in a bowl of water, it starts bleeding, so they send it off to be analyzed, and it turns out to be human blood, AB positive, and human tissue from the myocardial heart muscle. But the consistency is part of the point. We know that the Eucharist is from the heart of Jesus, and we know that his blood type is AB positive. And we also know there are plenty of cases where people have sent a host in because it looks like it's bleeding, but it turns out just to be some kind of a fungus that's natural in bread. And that's to be expected because transubstantiation is not transformation. It's going to act like bread. And we should not be disappointed with these false alarms, because the fact that the Catholic Church is willing to admit when science debunks a miracle, it makes it all that more credible and astounding when science verifies the miracle. Until my next video, God bless.